This is Living the RV Dream with Traveling Robert, episode number 23 for August 25th, 2017.
I'm riding with my RV, wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Well, hello, happy campers, and welcome to another edition of Living the RV Dream, brought to you by Rad Power Bikes. I am your host, as always, Robert Morales here, and this is a very special episode. This is the first episode that I'm fully producing from the road. I am coming to you today from the Davy Crockett Campground here, 2,000 feet above sea level, on the top of the Cumberland Plateau in Tennessee, just west of the Smoky Mountains National Park. And we may or may not visit the Smoky Mountains this trip. This has been one of those trips where we made very little reservations because, you know, we didn't know how the weather was going to be, and the main idea was to find good weather to see the total solar eclipse that happened last Monday. We've been actually 10 days on the road since we left Miami, Florida, and of course we wanted to experience that great, and it's a pretty rare natural phenomenon that is a total solar eclipse. And this time it happens right here in our backyard in the United States. All over the United States it happened, from the top, from Oregon, and it exited, it came out all the way here in South Carolina. And I have never been near one of these solar eclipses in my lifetime. This one happened on Monday, August 21st, as you all probably know. And the next one won't happen until April 8th, 2024. And then we're going to have to wait all the way to 2044. I'm going to be an old man until it happens again here in the lower 48 in the United States. So this was a very special, a unique opportunity, and I've been planning it actually for over a year, and we finally got to see it. But well, anyway, let me tell you the whole story. We left on Sunday, August 13th, and pretty much drove all day just to get out of Florida. As you know, Florida is a very long state, so if you get the whole state behind you on the first day, then everything else is kind of close. And the drive, to be honest about it, felt shorter than it really was. We left early, we were very refreshed. And it was not bad at all, really. It is always great when some people recognize you on the road. Some people actually recognized my rig, and I was able to meet one guy, actually, as we were driving near Claremont, Florida, which, by the way, is near Orlando. And I see this guy in a big truck is like next to me and sort of cutting me off. I needed to change lanes, actually, and I couldn't because he was there. And if I accelerated, he would accelerate. If I slowed down, he would slow down. And then I looked over and I actually recognized him. He was trying to get my attention, actually. So we pulled over to the side of the road, and we've known each other online, you know, for a while, for a couple of months. He has large travel trailer, and he's part-timing with his family. He was on vacation here in Florida. He's originally from New Jersey. And he also has a YouTube channel, and I'll put a link in the show notes. It is called RV Travel Montañez Way. Very cool. He's a very, very high energy guy, and that reflects on his YouTube videos. Actually, someone else recognized me on the road and left me a message. Let's hear it.
Hi, my name is Kim. I am traveling with my family. We actually just passed you on the Florida Turnpike, just a little bit past Loxahatchee. And we wanted to say, hope you have a good adventure on your travels, and we will be following you. Drive safe. Take care.
It is actually so nice, so cool when people recognize you on the road. And it happened a couple of times this trip. People would honk and wave hello, and I suppose that's because of the big sign that I have in the back of the RV, you know, free in my RV, and it has the picture of my rig. And the website on the bottom, travelingrobert.com. So if you see me on the road, don't be shy. Say hello. Okay, that day on Sunday, on our first day on the road, We drove all the way to Valdosta, Georgia, which is just past the Florida-Georgia line. Of course, I stopped at the line, the border, just to do a quick video. It was kind of safe there, pulling over. And we went all the way to Valdosta, which is half an hour away from the border. And we parked at the Walmart for the night. And it was so hot that we decided to use our brand new generator for the first time on the road, get some air conditioning going. At the beginning, I had a little trouble starting it. I don't know why. I couldn't find the remote control, so I started it by hand. And perhaps I was a little nervous about running the Jenny at the Walmart. But eventually, it worked out. We had it on for a couple hours. I didn't want to leave it running overnight. It is kind of loud, and I was afraid someone might complain, someone might take it. I don't know. It's our first time running a generator. So there were two more RVs in the same area with their generators running, so I didn't feel so bad, but theirs seemed to be a lot quieter than mine. So there's something to be said, I guess, for the generator to be enclosed in the basement of a motorized RV. And not ours, I have mine like on the floor right next to the trailer. So another reason to eventually replace the trailer with a Class B Plus or a small Class C. I don't know, eventually we want to go that route. But for now, I keep modifying my trailer and I'm very happy with it. So that will just travel. The next time we travel, it won't be in August unless we're going like to the Pacific Northwest or the Rocky Mountains for sure. Well, in the morning we continue towards Macon. And but every time I come to Georgia, and I do so quite often because my wife has family near Atlanta, I've seen all these signs on the road advertising this place called the Magnolia Plantation. And it's like, Magnolia Plantation, pecans, and this and that. And from the road, the building looks kind of like a plantation building, you know, with the columns. I don't know. And we decided to check it out. And inside, you know, it's like a gas station in the front, and inside is like the store for the gas station. And, you know, they sell pecans and peach, you know, preserved peach preserves, and you know, typical Georgia products. And but that was it. It's just like a store. And when you look at the labels, everything had like a bunch of unpronounceable ingredients, not to mention high fructose corn syrup. So I wonder really how local all this really stuff is, or I suspect is produced at a factory somewhere. So we actually bought some peach infused hot sauce that turned out to be really good. Actually, it looked pretty natural, so we've used it in our cooking since we've been on the road. And after this Magnolia Plantation, you know, we filled up the tank and continued. By the way, if you come into Georgia, if you can wait until after the border, the gas in Georgia is quite cheaper than in Florida. There's a tip for you. And we continued towards Macon, which is like 2 hours further north. Ever since I stumbled upon College Street in the last time I was in Macon, actually the only other time I've been in downtown Macon, I have wanted to visit this city. It's very historic, and this time I actually wasn't disappointed, except for the fact that I would come another time of the year. It was extremely hot and muggy everywhere. I mean, it felt like South Florida. I think it's been a very hot summer everywhere. Anyways, we visited this mansion. What is one of the places we visited? This mansion called the Hay House, which was inhabited by three different families during the course of like 100 years. And it's really like a small palace here in the city, and you can get very nice views of the city from the top floors. And they're slowly renovating it, you know, restoring it to its former glory. They also rented like for weddings, but it was so hot inside. There was no air conditioning in most of the house. I mean, even the guide was sweating profusely. I think she was so glad when we decided not to take the extended tour. But anyway, a lot of history and luxury at this place, and very luxurious for the time. The time period, which was constructed in the right after the Civil War, late 1800s. Also, there's another famous mansion here called the Cannonball House, where they have like a Confederate museum. But after sweating profusely at the Hay House, we decided to save it for another time. We will return for sure, but some other time when the heat is not as severe as it was this time. There's also this famous cemetery we visited called the Rose Hill, where actually the Allman Brothers are buried there, and it's really picturesque because it has all these hills, you know, it goes up and down everywhere, and then some part of it even look like I would imagine like Roman ruins would look like. It's very cool. I took plenty of pictures. Actually, there's a video already online that I posted with some of that, like the highlights. Also, here's the in Macon, there was the Allman Brothers Museum, but we were there on a Monday and a Tuesday, and the museum was closed those days. But overall, Macon, very cool architecture all over this historic portion of town. We also visited this Indian mounds. It is actually an archaeological site. It's called the Okmulgee National Monument. But we were just there for a couple of minutes because it was so hot. And the bugs were like drones flying around us. And I don't know if they were like the kind of bugs that bite you, but I didn't want to take any chances. But anyways, very, very cool architecture everywhere. We also passed by most notably the Mercer University School of Law. It is like this majestic building with a clock tower on the top, and there's like another Greek Revival building next to it. Very cool architecture on the hills. It's very nice. I recommend you visit Macon, but not in August, for sure. By the way, we stayed at the Al-Sihah Shrine RV Park. Very nice, very laid back. It's like a Freemason shrine, and it was a very good deal because it's half price with your Good Sam membership, so keep that in mind. Yeah, Good Sam has paid for itself already, this trip alone. On the next day, we continue towards Atlanta, by the way. Also, it's another 2.5 hours further north. And we stayed at the Stone Mountain Campground. And what a beautiful place that is. That the campground is beautiful. And we had a site where we had a view of the lake. And hadn't it been for a tree that was right there, we would have had a beautiful view of the mountain. But anyways, here we spent some time with my wife's family, of course. They prepared us some Cuban food, and we spent the afternoon, you know, catching up, sipping wine, and we also explored the area a little bit. We went to this park, Bethesda Park, and did a bit of a hike. And went to this area in Duluth. It's called K-Town, because there's like a large population of, you know, Korean population in the area. And we had some Korean rolled dice, which, ice cream, not rolled dice, rolled ice cream, which was pretty, pretty cool. Never had it before. And the next day, we went around the Stone Mountain Park, you know, things we hadn't seen before. We had already been to the top of the rock, so we wanted to do the rest of the stuff. But one word of advice, keep in mind that many of the park's attractions like the train or the dock tours, you know, they only open on weekends, and it's understandable because that's where the influx of people is usually there. So we were there like on a Wednesday, so we weren't able to take advantage of any of those attractions. We did visit the historic village, a very, very nice collection of preserved antebellum houses that they moved here. And we also went by the visitors center, you know, where they have like this very nice view of the Stone Mountain and the mural, you know, that they have there. Very cool, very, very nice place. It was a very relaxing day. Just going around. And the next time I go to Stone Mountain, I actually want to take the trail. It's like 1 mile, one-way trail that goes to the top of the mountain, but it was too hot this time, and we were not really prepared for the task. By the way, until this point in the trip, right here, we had every intention of going all the way to Nebraska to see the eclipse, you know, maybe the Alliance in Nebraska area, which is like by the sand hills. But we had no real plans or reservations, since we want to follow the best possible weather. That's what we wanted to do. So if it was cloudy in Nebraska, we would stay in the Nashville area. If it was cloudy in Nashville, we would go all the way to Nebraska. And on this day, on Wednesday, it's starting to look like Nebraska would perhaps not be the best choice. It looked like it was going to be cloudy. There was like this front coming through. So we decided to slow down a little bit and only travel 2 hours on that day, only towards, the Chattanooga area. And we stayed at this campground we had discovered the year before on the trip to Chicago, called Marion County Park. And it's just by one of the Tennessee Welcome Centers. So it's right on the Tennessee River, very nice. And we went to this winery. It's called the Lookout Winery. And it's called that way because according to them, from the top, you could see three states, you know, Georgia, Alabama, and Tennessee. There were like three mountains and one belonging to each state. I took their word for it, but by the way, some of the wines were pretty good, very good. The owner is of Italian descent, and he's like an Italo, Italo fanatic, and he buys different grapes, you know, Sangiovese and stuff, and he comes up with very good blends of all these grapes, and it was a fun evening. And by the way, the pizza was very good too, very, very good. They have like, they import the dough from Italy. It's like, very cool. Anyways, in the morning we checked the weather again, and it looked like the corridor from Nashville to Carbondale, Illinois, that was going to be like the best area. So we decided to go for smack in the middle of that area, you know, the epicenter, Hopkinsville, Kentucky. And it wasn't that far. We drove through Nashville. It was just a couple of hours, and we arrived in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. And once we arrived there, we started to encounter some problems. The Walmart that formerly allowed overnight parking didn't allow it anymore. And in fact, none of the nearby Walmarts allowed overnight parking anymore. I don't know why, but you know why? Probably because of the large influx of people expected for the eclipse. I mean, I don't blame them, but still, it was inconvenient for us. And it was a foregone conclusion that by that time, every single campsite, every single hotel room would be booked in the area for the date of the eclipse. But still, we started calling around, and it turned out that this KOA by the Kentucky Lakes area, it's called the Prizer Point, and it had some vacancy. Amazingly enough, they had a four-day minimum, and it was like $300 for the 4 days, so we decided to book the 4 nights and just take it easy for the next couple of days. This was on Thursday night. Anyway, we had never been around the area. Actually, we didn't even know about this area, you know, Western Kentucky. And there's the island, you know, called the land between the lakes. And at one point, these two lakes were the largest man-made lake in the world, which is composed by Lake Barkley. That's where we stayed, which is the water from the Cumberland River. It's a dam. And the Kentucky Lake, which is the Tennessee River. And then, you know, the area has so many campgrounds, either tent camping or dispersed camping or like formal organized campgrounds all over the place. And some are very secluded. And a lot of people here come with boats. It's a boater's paradise here in this area. And my cousin Juan called me from Louisville. He lives there. He's no stranger to the area. He's lived in Kentucky most of his life. And he recommended we go to this place called Patty's. And they're famous for their pork chops, and I was not disappointed. It's probably one of the best pork chops I've ever had. The flavor, it was juicy, very, very nice. And of course, the main event was Monday, the eclipse. But before I go into that, I want to tell you guys about our friends at Rad Power Bikes, our sponsor. Rad Power Bikes is an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes. And because they sell directly to you, the consumer, you won't see the large retail markup that you would see that would be present if you were buying from a third party or a dealer, ensuring you're always getting a performance e-bike at a fraction of the cost. So go visit radpowerbikes.com or click on the link in the show notes, or call 1-800-939-0310 to learn more about their models or to place an order. And offering free shipping on all four models. I also want to remind you that our program is syndicated on the Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. So if you're into fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, check it out 24/7, 365 days a week. Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. You can download the app or just visit wrvoradio.com and check out the schedule. I believe we are on Thursdays, our show. So let me tell you all about the eclipse. That's the main event and what we came here for, really. And at the beginning, it doesn't really look that like much. It's an incredible phenomenon, of course. But partial eclipses I've seen before, and you have to wear special glasses, and I even bought a filter for my camera. And at the beginning, it just looks like half moon. You know, you see the shape of the moon slowly covering the sun, but you see nothing really until the moon starts covering more than half the sun. You know, when there's just a sliver of sun left, that's when it starts getting really interesting, because the whole area takes this eerie look. You know, it is still sunny. You can see see shadows, but the light from the sun is a lot less than you would expect. And it doesn't look like it is cloudy. It just looks like the sun is fading. And the last moment of light, then you start seeing these swirls of light on the ground, you know, which apparently are caused by irregularities in the moon's surface and also solar flares. So it is like almost like you're looking at the sunlight through water, almost, but not quite. It's quite disturbing, really. And then totality, and you see. Words cannot describe it. It's like you see the black circle of the moon, like really black, surrounded by the sun's corona, which is really bright. I mean, pictures cannot capture it. And it is like time stops, only that it doesn't. It takes about a minute and a half and then it is over. But everything has this eerie look. And you, when you look around on the horizon, it's like, you know, like that look right after sunset or dusk, you know, that look all around you. And then you end on the top, you can see stars. It is really incredible. I mean, I am already looking forward to 2024, because it begins and it ends so quickly. And it ends like it begins. When it's ending, you see it looks like a ring and a diamond on the ring, which is like the first ray of sunlight coming back. And again, you see the swirls on the ground, and then all of a sudden, within seconds, it is daytime again. It is really something else. Okay, continuing with the trip, we had that night reserved, but we decided to leave early, you know, to get a head start. And this was no planning at all on our part, and maybe we should plan better next time. But we said, how about the idea was to, you know, we haven't been to Kansas or Oklahoma or Nebraska, for that matter, or Texas. So we were thinking, but let's check all those states off our map. Let's just drive to Kansas City and then south to Texas or whatever. But when we looked at a map and we looked at the distances, we were going to be driving most of the time. So the trip is not all about check marks. It's about enjoying ourselves. So we said, okay, let's compromise. Let's just go to Arkansas, Little Rock. You know, it's a fine city. They have the Bill Clinton Library. Let's check that out. And then we continue going down to Texas. But by the time we reached the Mississippi River, it was nighttime, and I actually made a wrong turn, and we ended up in Missouri for some reason. And but we found this casino. It's called Lucky Lady. No, not Lucky Lady. Lady Luck. The Lady Luck Casino on the Mississippi River. And I forgot the name of the town, and we decided to stay there. And that night we said, what are we doing? We're going so far west. Let's just stick to the original plan A and visit Eastern Tennessee and the Smoky Mountains and Asheville, which it was one of the places that we actually wanted to see. So that's what we did. Yesterday we drove all day, and here we are now near the Smoky Mountains. And we might skip the Smoky Mountains actually altogether, because we've been there. So I might just tomorrow drive to Knoxville and then Asheville and spend a couple of days in Asheville. And actually, by the time you listen to this, we are going to be in Asheville. And that's all I have for you today. It's been such a great trip we've been having. And I'm talking to you here. My first podcast recorded from the RV locally is not too hot this morning, so I'm able to leave the air conditioning off. But I'm overlooking this forest here in the mountains. And our neighbor has a Winnebago Via, which is actually one of the choices that... One of my choices when we move to a motorized, we like something. Maybe if they made a Via 2 or 3 inches shorter, that would be perfect. Anyways, you know you can contact me at robert@travelingrobert.com. That's the email. I am Traveling Robert in all the social media, even Snapchat, although I don't use it as much. I use mainly Facebook and Instagram, so you can check me out there. Of course, I have CDs and stickers for sale at my website, which you can get to by going to rvvlog.com or travelingrobert.com/stickers and all that good stuff. Until the next time, thank you so much for listening and see you on the road.